As God's thankful people, we confess our dependence on the Lord with the words of Psalm 124. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Congregation, receive God's greeting with the words of 1 Corinthians 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing of how good it is to praise the Lord with Psalm 147, the verses 1 and 6. Lord our God has provided us with his statutes and given us his revelation through his law. In this way he teaches us how to live grateful and thankful lives and also teaches us to live with humble hearts. As scripture says in Psalm 51 verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. We listen to God's law this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And so, being convicted of our sins, we might rest on God's grace in Christ and be all the more encouraged to live thankful lives for God's glory. God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your ox nor your donkey, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. And you shall not desire your neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let us now, in response to God's law, with humble and contrite hearts, sing together from Psalm 51, verse 6. Let us call on the name of the Lord our God in prayer. Our heavenly God and Father, at the beginning of our worship service, we could gratefully confess that it is good and pleasant to bring praise to you. For in that way, by taking the words of Scripture on our lips, from this altar that you have given us, our hearts and minds are fixed on you, our God. And Lord, how good that is. For you are mighty and you are powerful. You are sovereign. You have made all things. You have made each one of us. And you direct every event of our lives. You govern and control the whole universe. Everything is completely in your hands, to the very hairs on our head. And in contrast, Lord, we are weak. And as your people, we again confess our weaknesses. We confess our sins. We recognize with sorrow that all too often we don't give your great name as the Almighty God the praise and the love and the glory that is due to your name. And we can so easily be forgetful of your precepts. We don't nearly begin to live in light of the perfect holiness that you call us to carry out. But Father, you are a God of greatness and a God also of grace. And so we appeal to you that you would wash us clean with the blood of your Son, and that you would help us to rest not in ourselves, but on you and your grace, which is more than sufficient to cover all our sins, both now and forever. And so we thank you that as we are assembled here today, our hearts may be fixed on you and on your grace. And we pray that you would give us confidence in the work of our Savior, that we may have a sense of assurance of faith, confidence of redemption, and so our hearts may be lifted up. And we may go from here built up and enthusiastic about serving you in our lives. Lord, we pray that you will also, through your word, renew us by your Spirit, and that more and more you would mold us by the gospel of salvation and by the Holy Scriptures, making us wise to salvation, making us increase in holiness, that we may bear good fruit as a result of abiding in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Give us true thankfulness in light of your abundant grace to us, that our lips and our lives may overflow and reflect something of the gratitude that you give us reason for. So bless your word as we hear it this day here, and bless your word wherever you are proclaiming it this day through faithful preachers of the gospel around the world. And grant that by the ministry of your word of reconciliation and of life, that the hearts of many may be turned to rest in you and to bring your great name praise both now and forever. We humbly ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. In light of God's grace and the riches of salvation he's given us, we now have opportunity to give him an expression of our gratitude with our financial gifts. This morning the collection is for the work of the deacons, and this afternoon for the Children of Light. After we've had opportunity to give our gifts of gratitude, we'll sing from Psalm 102, the verses 8 and 9. In this psalm, we acknowledge how the Lord has reached down to us in our lost and helpless condition, and from on high, he gives us deliverance and grace. Let us take our Bibles as we open the Word of God this morning to Matthew chapter 5, and we read the verses 1 through 12. Our text this morning will be verse 3, one of the Beatitudes. So we'll read the verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he, that is Jesus, went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Thus far our scripture reading. Let us now unite in singing together from Psalm 34, verse 2. This is one of the Old Testament passages that's part of the background of our text this morning, which speaks about blessed are the poor in spirit. And in this psalm, we speak about how the poor man cries for help and the Lord delivers him. Psalm 34, verse 2. The text that we focus on this morning is from Matthew 5, verse 3. These words of our Lord Jesus Christ as part of the Sermon on the Mount. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." After the sermon, in response to the proclamation of God's word, we continue singing from Psalm 34, the verses 6 and 7. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, these days when posting pictures on social media like Instagram or Twitter, it's a common practice for people to include hashtags which give a further description of what is being pictured. So, for example, along with the hashtag healthy, you can expect to see pictures of fruit, vegetables, people drinking celery juice. You can expect to see pictures of athletic young men lifting weights, doing exercises, generally trying to look cool. You can expect to find pictures of slim young women with well-toned muscles posing in swimsuits at the beach. Hashtag healthy. But you see, people are not always accurate in their own opinion of themselves. Because even though they might not realize it, some of the people in those pictures actually might not be healthy. Perhaps without their knowledge, they've got heart disease or cancer or tumor growing in their body and they don't even realize it. Our own opinion of ourselves is not always reliable. So let's see that by using another hashtag. How about hashtag blessed? If you were posting pictures or moments from your life, what would you choose to go along with hashtag blessed? What kind of snapshots would you expect to see other people posting with hashtag blessed? Well, I took a look. And what kinds of things might you typically see with hashtag blessed? You'll find pictures of family, people with their friends, a graduation, a diploma, certificates, winning sports teams, new cars, new toys, good food, good times. Hashtag blessed. Here are some examples. Best vacation ever. Just me and my husband on a sailboat at the islands. Hashtag blessed. Or living my dream, coaching my son Luke in his first football game. Hashtag blessed. Or three amazing kids. Hashtag blessed. Or when my sleepy princess takes my hand and tells me she loves me. Hashtag blessed. Or I'm ready for this business deal. Good things are coming my way. Hashtag blessed. But let's remember, people are not always accurate in their own opinion of themselves. And what really matters is not what people think. What really matters is, what does God think? What does God say? Well, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus shows that in the kingdom of God, things are often upside down from what the world thinks. And that's obvious from these Beatitudes, a list of hashtag blessed. And perhaps nowhere is it more obvious than the very first of these. Who is it that is hashtag blessed? Says verse 3, the poor in spirit. I proclaim to you God's word using this theme, spiritual beggars are declared to be heavenly princes. And we'll consider three things. Firstly, what does it mean to be blessed? Secondly, who is blessed? And thirdly, how are they blessed? So spiritual beggars are declared to be heavenly princes. Firstly, we'll consider what does it mean to be blessed? Now, our text is the first of a series of Beatitudes, and there's either 8 or 9 of them, depending on whether or not you take verse 10 and 11 together. But what is important isn't so much how many there are, the total number, but What are they saying? What do they mean? Now, the word beatitude is an English word, but it comes from a Latin word, beatus, which simply means blessed. So what's a beatitude? It's a statement where someone is declared to be beatus, to be blessed. And it was usually formulated in this way, blessed are, blank. And to be declared beatus, to be declared blessed, means to be declared to be in a state of happiness, of being worthy of congratulated. So when might that be? When is someone blessed? When are they in a state in which congratulations are in order? What kind of snapshots would you identify with that in your own life? What's hashtag blessed for you? Well, your answer to that will be in the form of a beatitude. Blessed are. And beatitudes are not new. Beatitudes have existed for centuries. In fact, they were quite common with the Greek philosophers in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we can't go looking up their Instagram accounts or their Facebook pages to see what they had to say, but we can read their books. And from them, we learn that they wrote things like this: blessed are the parents who've got children of excellence. Blessed are the mothers who have got admirable sons. Blessed is the man who marries an exceptional bride. Blessed are those who have got a good wife and children. And typically, when you look at the writings of the philosophers of the day, hashtag blessed is given to those who have got money and wealth, or power, or fame, or glory and success. Blessed are those who've got lives of pleasure, lives of freedom, lives without trouble or misery. Now, is that really much different from our world today? Check out hashtag blessed online and you will see that our world says much the same. Blessed are those with wealth. Blessed are the powerful. Blessed are the blonde and the beautiful. Blessed are the brainy. Blessed are the winners of AFL finals. Blessed are champion soccer teams. Blessed are winners of awards. That's the world in which we live. And because we live in the world, we are getting constantly soaked with their beatitudes. On the radio, on the TV, on the internet, in commercials. Everything we see around us is in effect stating to us, this is what blessedness looks like. And we can get very easily sucked into thinking the same. And before you know it, you think that way. Right? Blessed is the guy in my class who is brainy and who aces all his tests. Blessed is that girl in the class who's popular and who's got the cute looks. Blessed is the guy next door who only seems to work half as much as I do and he's got twice as much money. Blessed are the healthy, the good looking, the clever, the rich, the winners. They all get hashtag blessed. Now, congregation, if this world was all that there was to life, just to here and now, from the day you're born to the day you die, then this thinking makes total sense. But this world is not all there is to life. We're living in a world where there's a God who is the creator of all things and to whom we are accountable to, and a God who is in control of history, and our lives are only a small fragment of eternity, that the eternity that we're going to be living in. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have a King, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge him as a church. And the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us how we're to live in his kingdom, an eternal kingdom. And because of that, because you're connected with him and you believe in him and you confess him, your beatitudes need to be different. And that is why in the Bible, blessedness doesn't first of all consist in health or wealth, in dress and success. Now these are blessings. They can be blessings, particularly when they come from our God and he gives them in his generosity to us. And in the Old Testament, God even promised Israel blessings like you will defeat your enemies, you will get bumper crops, you will have large families, you will be fruitful. But they weren't the focus. These were signs. They were shadows of the heavenly blessings God was giving us. And that's why in the New Covenant, when we read about blessing, it no longer continues to describe it in the first place in terms of these shadows, but instead it describes it on these spiritual treasures that these earthly things are pointing towards and are really about. Heavenly treasures in Christ, in eternal glory with him. And so hence not, first of all, blessed are the healthy, blessed are the wealthy, but blessed are those who enter the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who belong to Jesus Christ in body and soul, life and death. And that is why in the New Testament, sometimes those are described as blessed, as those who actually don't have health, don't have wealth, and even are experiencing trials and temptations. Here's an example from James chapter 1. James writes in verse 12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he's been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised those who love him." In his letter to the churches, the apostle Peter writes in chapter 4, verse 14, "If you are reproached, that means insulted, reviled, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." That's very much along the lines of Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, where blessing is also pronounced on those who revile when you experience being reviled and persecuted for the sake of Christ. These things make it clear that blessedness is not first of all about experiencing prosperity and peace and having an easy life, not needing to go to surgery for a knee operation ever, not having family members who are sick or struggling, not experiencing brokenness in our relationships. Blessedness is not first of all about earthly treasures. You might be underfed. You might be overweight. You might be sick, you might be dying, you might be lonely, you might be suffering, you might be struggling, and yet God might declare you to be blessed. And that's what matters. See, our sinful hearts are good at deceiving us. We often look for joy in the wrong places. And in the end, that does not lead to hashtag blessed. It leads to hashtag wretched. And that is why when you look at the lives of many celebrities, for example, who seem to have it all, who should be hashtag blessed, become wretched. Sometimes they give up. They throw in the towel. They take their own life. Hashtag wretched. So don't listen to the world. Listen to your King, your Saviour, to whom you belong, as he tells you how it works in his kingdom. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's our second point. The word poor here is a very special word that refers to a beggar. So not someone who's just a few dollars short, but someone who is lowly and afflicted and even destitute. They've got nothing left. They depend on other people for support. An example of another biblical usage of this word is that widow who puts her last two copper coins and gives them as an offering to the Lord. Poor. In a parable in Luke chapter 16, Jesus describes a poor man, Lazarus, same word, and he is described in this way. He's a certain beggar. He's full of sores, laid at the gate of the rich man, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Dogs came and licked his sores. That's a beggar. That's the poor. He's helpless. He's destitute. So is Jesus then saying that it's not the rich, but it's the beggars of society that are poor, that are blessed? The panhandlers, the people who sleep on doorsteps and eat from soup kitchens? There are some people who have interpreted this text this way, and they use it as a reason to say, well, we should get rid of all wealth. Well, the fact is, you can be poor, but poverty is never praised in itself in the Bible. You can be poor and still love wealth. And you can have a wrong spirit. You can have the wrong beatitude. And so we need to look at the wider background of the word that Jesus uses. This is a word that would have been familiar to the hearers from their knowledge of the Old Testament. Because throughout Scripture, this is not a word that God uses to speak of people who are poor because they deserve to be poor. This isn't a word used to describe those who have squandered and wasted great wealth. This is a word consistently used of people who've become poor because rich people are impoverishing them and treating them cruelly. Now, as you know, in the Old Testament, God gave laws to protect the poor. This shouldn't be happening. But time and again, especially in the prophets, we see how rich people disobey God's provisions. And they take advantage of the poor. They oppress the poor. And that is why in the Old Testament, the opposite to the poor and contrasted with the poor is not, first of all, the rich, but often over against the poor is the wicked. Take, for example, Psalm 37, verse 14. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. So who's the rich there? The rich is the wealthy. It's the wicked who's twisting justice for himself. He's disobeying God. He's taking advantage of the poor. The poor, that's the righteous one. It's the one who loves the Lord and wants to do the right thing. But he's being taken advantage of, but he humbly trusts in God. And so that's the picture we get throughout the Old Testament. The focus is a spiritual quality. Who's the poor? Not just the person who's the lowest on the social ladder. The poor is someone who has learned to depend on God. It's the poor man who says in the Psalms, like one of the Psalms we sang already, he says things like Psalm 40, as for me, I'm poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. In Psalm 70, I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. Psalm 86, incline your ear, O Lord, answer me, for I am poor and needy. You see a common refrain here? He's downtrodden, he's oppressed, the poor man is a man of faith. He looks to God. He depends on God completely. He knows in himself he's helpless. And that's why already in the Old Testament, poverty is so often linked to a spiritual attitude of a believer as he sees himself living in the world of his God. Who's the poor man? It's a man who realizes he cannot save himself. It's a man who depends totally on God to work a salvation that he can't work himself. And in that sense, God wants his people to be poor, poor in spirit, depending on him. This is not a matter of your bank account. It's a matter of your character. Actually, you can say that what the Beatitudes are describing here are the character of the Christian. It's not as if each Beatitude is talking about a different group of people. They all need to be true. These are the qualities of children of God who belong to Christ and depend on grace. And in some degree, they all need to be true of all Christians. So how well do you plug into this Beatitude? How do you see yourself? How do you see your abilities? In Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord says, "This is the man to whom I will look, he that is humble and contrite in spirit and who trembles at my word." That's the one, the humble that the Lord declares to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven and says, hashtag blessed. The work of Jesus Christ and the eternal glory that is to follow, it's not given to those who see themselves as rich and strong, self-assertive, self-reliant, self-confident, self-centered, self-sufficient. It's not given to Pharisees and scribes who come with their list of achievements and their list of works. Look at me, God. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I've done this. I've done that. It's given to tax collectors, to sinners. It's given not to those who see themselves as spiritually healthy and doing very well, thank you very much, but those who know that they are sick, those who know they need grace. It's not given to those who are full of themselves, but those who know that in themselves they are empty. Spiritual beggars who know that they have nothing of themselves to contribute to salvation. And so they don't boast in themselves because they know that even their best works are defiled by sin. And even their best works have only been produced in them by God, and he gets glory for that. And in the presence of a holy God, their best righteousness is like filthy rags. And so, by the grace of God, they see themselves as spiritual beggars who depend on his mercy, who rely on his grace in Christ. Do you see yourself that way? Again, what matters is not what you look like in the presence of others. It's not what the world thinks. It's not what people think. What does God think? He sees the real you. Now, this idea, the idea of seeing yourself as a spiritual beggar is, in our world, it's offensive. It's ludicrous. Our world today praises self-esteem, not self-denial. We're encouraged to be proud, not poor. The world praises people who are self-confident, self-reliant. Now, you may have many different gifts. You may have, even by the world's standards, human success. But do you realize it's God who's given it? And do you realize that you are completely dependent on him? Anything good about you? It might be you kicked the winning goal yesterday. It might be success at school. It might be how you look. Anything good about you is given to you by God. And as long as you keep anything for yourself to boast about, you can't receive grace. If you think you're deserving and you're full with your own self-sufficiency, how do you have room for Jesus Christ and to be filled with the grace of God? The precious wine of God's grace in Christ isn't poured into those who are full of themselves. It's given to those who see themselves for as they really are, empty. The pearl of great price is given by Christ as a free gift to those who see themselves as poor in spirit. And it's going to be of value only to those who recognize that they are spiritually bankrupt. And so hear the words of your King Jesus Christ as he instructs you here. Don't try to be someone that the world admires. Being a Christian is absolutely different. And everything about us is different. We hunger and thirst for different things. And our spirit is opposite to that of the world. This is why it shouldn't surprise us that the scriptures give us many examples of believers who are poor in spirit. Consider David, who prays in the words of Psalm 51. We sang earlier from part of that psalm. Other parts of that psalm, he prays in this way. He says, blot out my sins. This is the rhyme version. Remove all my transgressions. O Lord, have mercy. Listen to my plea. And in those words we sang, one gift alone is pleasing in God's eyes. The contrite heart of one who's repented. A broken spirit you will not despise when humbly as a sacrifice presented. Think of that wayward prodigal son. Luke 15, and he comes back to his father and he's got empty pockets, he's got empty hands, and he's got a very humble heart. And he says to his father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, am no longer worthy to be called your son. Think of the tax collector. Jesus describes in Luke chapter 18, he stands afar off. He would not have so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Think of God's apostle, the apostle Paul, who has reasons for confidence in the flesh. He even lists some of his accomplishments. But he sees himself as a spiritual beggar. He says, what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That is poor in spirit. So what kind of person are you? Poor? Proud? We need to recognize here that being poor in spirit is not our natural attitude. This needs to be worked in us by the Holy Spirit and by grace. And when that attitude is evident, it's a sign we are already receiving the grace of the Spirit to change our thinking. Because unless the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the real reality, our self-assessment is always going to be wrong. And we will be confident in our own capacity. But when the Spirit works, then we become aware of how limited we really are. And we become aware of the infinite capacity of a powerful and gracious God. Do you see that even if you're a lifelong member of the church, that even if your best accomplishments are are imperfect, covered with sin. Do you see that in yourself there is nothing to offer to God? Even not the fact you may have professed your faith or attend church regularly and pray and read the Bible. Even those things are there only by the grace of God and a result of his work. And we should never think those activities save. No, only Jesus Christ saves. And so we are never to take pride in ourselves or that we belong to a certain family or that we are a certain nationality or our personal health or wealth, how much we've achieved. They're all from him. And before others, we might compare ourselves very favorably. But all good comes from God. And so you and I depend completely on the blood of Jesus Christ. By nature, we are spiritually naked. And so we desperately need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be clothed in the garments of his righteousness and his work. We may even seem to be doing all the right things, but we could have a wrong mindset. Let's remember that in Israel, there were some who thought they were spiritually healthy. And they had lists. They were doing all the right things. But they trusted in their own righteousness. And the Lord Jesus speaks exactly of such a one in that parable in Luke chapter 18 when he pictures the Pharisee who prays, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Wait a minute, we say, aren't those good things? Shouldn't he be doing that? Isn't that how we're supposed to live? Isn't that how I live? Adultery, swearing, violence, stay away from that. Of course, that's the life God wants us to live, but don't dare trust in that. Because the Lord Jesus says this. He says that this Pharisee is one of those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Says the Lord, he doesn't go home justified. The tax collector does. But not the Pharisee. The Pharisee is, from God's perspective, hashtag wretched. That means it's possible even for a church to be rich, apparently, and yet spiritually poor. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ says to the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3. He says about them that they are lukewarm. And so he's going to spit them out. He says, you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They don't realize their spiritual poverty. And so Christ counsels them to flee to him and rely on him. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. And white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Or else he's going to take away their lampstand and they will not be blessed. Brothers and sisters, by all means, be thankful that God in his goodness places you in his covenant community. Be thankful when you see that there is activity for the gospel and in your own life for the name of Christ. Be thankful in these things. Be faithful in them. Continue them. But remember, these do not save you. Kingdom thinking starts here. In that rich doctrine that we are justified by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, apart from our works. In the end, we aren't coming face to face with others. We do not need to impress people. We will come face to face with God.
And then we realize, oh, there's nothing in me. I can come face to face with God only when I'm covered with Christ. And so I flee to Him and I say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then we can be sure we will be clothed. We will be filled. That's our final point. How they are blessed, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Because those who are spiritually poor in this way will be rich because God declares that they have a kingdom. In Revelation, we read it at another church, the church of Smyrna, that is a church that is financially poor. But Jesus says to them, I know your works, your tribulation, your poverty, but you are rich. And so Jesus Christ declares that the poor, the spiritually poor, are actually in His kingdom princes. He gives them His kingdom. Who does He give it to? Not to those who boast in their own righteousness. In Matthew chapter 21, we read this. Assuredly, I say to you, tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Jesus is speaking here to the chief priests, to the leaders, the Pharisees. They are not the ones who are coming in. No, it's the tax collectors, it's the harlots, it's those who don't see themselves in pride, but see themselves as poor and are responding to the message of Christ. And who have humble hearts and who believe. In James 2 verse 5 we read, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? That's a promise already given in the Old Testament. The Lord promises that He will comfort His people and He will have a compassion on His afflicted, His poor. In Psalm 72, there's a wonderful prophecy about the anointed one of the Lord. This is the Messiah, it's the Lord Jesus, and He's going to come. And particularly what He's going to do is execute justice for the poor. May He judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. He will deliver the needy when He cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy and save the souls of the needy. This is why your King came, congregation, because He knows we can't save ourselves. He has come so that we who by nature are poor will be filled as members of His kingdom. And to us who have nothing, He comes and gives everything. How amazing is it not to realize when you are empty that you are filled? That He would come with the royal garments of His righteousness and clothe us? That He would come and allow us to eat and drink at the table of His kingdom? To receive the bread and wine of salvation? To receive the forgiveness of all our sins? To receive eternal life and treasures beyond compare? Things we can't even imagine by grace alone? That is hashtag blessed. So how are you seeking to be blessed? The devil wants you looking for it in money, good looks, success, power, earthly treasures. But don't be deceived by the lies of the world. If God does give you some of these things, then see them as coming from Him. See the blessing being in Him, not in the things themselves. And keep listening to your King, who declares that it's the spiritual beggars who are heavenly princes. And so be empty of any arrogance, any pride of heart. Be poor that you can be filled. For He makes the poor rich. He heals the brokenhearted, the crushed in spirit. He makes paupers into princes, blessing beggars with a kingdom. And so, acknowledge your poverty and receive an eternal kingdom. Hashtag truly blessed. Amen. Let's now in response sing about how the Lord will save those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 34 verses 6 and 7. I've been asked to share with you a number of announcements and prayer points from the consistory. First of all, in prayer, we will remember that Sister Reitzema Sr. will be undergoing surgery on Monday, Lord willing, to replace her kneecap. Also this Sunday, Lord willing, there will be profession of faith and adult baptism of three adults at the mission post at Lao. This is a husband and wife who will also confirm their marriage. They will make profession of faith. And their 19-year-old son will also make profession of faith, and all three will be baptized. Consistory with the deacons will meet on Monday, 7:30 p.m., the Lord willing. The congregation is reminded that nominations for office bearers are to be submitted to consistory by 7:30 p.m. tomorrow. An attestation has been requested by Brother James Brewer to the Free Reformed Church of Byford. Home visits this week, Reverend D. Anderson, Tuesday, 8 p.m. Let us now draw near before the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly God and Father, Lord, once again we give you praise and honor. And it is not because we are so competent or worthy. We have been reminded again of our shortcomings in our obedience, our shortcomings in our understanding, in our own love, in our wisdom. That we be reminded too, Lord, of the abundance of your grace. And we find comfort and joy knowing that you are a God who shows favor and mercy even when we fall far short of what you demand of us. We find comfort and rest knowing that you are the King and the Lord of your church and that you will cover us and all our sins with the blood of your Son and you will work in us by your Spirit. We thank you for the faith that you give.
also in the hearts and lives of your people here, that together we may confess that our salvation rests not in us, but in you alone. And so break down in our hearts any pride or stubbornness. Help us to acknowledge how dependent we are on you and how rich we are in Christ. And so fill us, Lord, with joy and with gratitude. And help us to give expression to that in our prayers, in our singing, and in our lives of praise. Lord, we pray that you will also encourage us with this knowledge and promise of blessing, also when, from a human perspective, we do experience difficulties and challenges in our lives. And so we pray for all those who are struggling in one way or another. Be with those who are struggling with their health, whether it be physically or emotionally. Be with those who are faced with illnesses or dealing with ongoing pain or are confronted with the effects of old age and the frailties that can come along with that. Give them patience, give them endurance. We also thank you, Lord, for the blessings and possibilities given by medicine and technology. And we pray in particular that you bless the outcome of the surgery scheduled for Sister Reitzema Sr. to replace her kneecap. We pray that if it pleases you that you would grant the desired outcome, that you would grant that also in the process of recovery that you would give her the support and the care that she needs. But above all, Heavenly Father, we pray that you would give her faith and trust in you, that even in these circumstances, she may experience your care, your love, and so be confident that she is blessed to be one of your children. Bless also her family and their support and care for her. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would also bless us in our relationships. As a congregation, as we encourage each other and support each other, but also in our individual homes and in our families, bless the bond of marriage and give ardent and enduring love between husbands and wives. Bless parents in their relationship with their children. Give that there may be good guidance given in the home, wisdom, but also compassion and love. Be with parents also in taking care of their children. We pray that you'd give fathers a love for you and a desire to be faithful and good spiritual leaders in their homes. Bless wives with a love for their husband, but also love for their children, and give them the strength and the energy that they need in taking care of their children and raising young families. Grant also your blessing and care over those who are expecting children and preserve them and care for them. Be with those who are preparing for marriage. And we pray that you would help them to do so on the good foundation of your word, that also in our marriages your word may be honored and we may serve you and experience your grace and your care. Heavenly Father, we also thank you for the work of the office bearers, and we pray that you would bless them also in the work that they'll be busy with in the coming week. We pray that you would also bless the process of calling to office, but also as the consistory considers nominations for office bearers, that they may be led and guided by your Spirit and the principles of your word. And we pray that you would continue to provide also this congregation with men who are equipped with godliness and with faith and can be a blessing to your church in the special offices. Bless the work of the minister in his preaching and teaching and the other aspects of his work, and grant that as your word goes out, it may be a blessing to your congregation. Bless the youth of your church as they receive instruction and learning in catechism classes, in reformed education and in the home, and give them a love for you and help them to not be deceived by the world. Protect them from the temptations of the flesh and enable them to have joy in serving you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work of our Savior in gathering, defending, and preserving a Catholic Church around the world. And we pray that you would bless believers, our brothers and sisters around the world who suffer persecution for your name's sake. Help them to be encouraged with the knowledge that even in their circumstances, they are blessed, because they are your children, and supply their needs. And if it pleases you, deliver them from oppression. We pray too that you would bless the mission work that is supported also by this congregation. We give you thanks for the joyful announcement we could hear about public profession of faith and adult baptism of three adults at the mission post at Lao. Lord, we acknowledge your great work, your work of your Spirit and your grace, and we pray that you would also bless these brothers and sister in the faith as they serve you, and that there may be joy here on earth and in heaven, and that you may be glorified in their lives. Bless the support for the work of mission and all that is done also in organizing and caring for this work. Heavenly Father, you give us so much reason for gratitude. We thank you that also in this country we may experience much freedom. And we pray also for your blessing over the leaders that you've appointed over us. Lord, we pray particularly for those in positions of authority who do want to honor you, and that you would bless their efforts to maintain the standards of your word. We pray also for those who do not want to honor you, that you would move their hearts to repentance and to acknowledge you as king and give them a willingness to submit to your good law. We pray also not only for those who are involved in making of legislation, but also in those who maintain rule and order. Bless those who serve in the police force. Bless those who serve in the military. We pray for protection over them, and that also through their efforts, our country may benefit. Heavenly Father, we pray also for the return of our Savior. For Lord, as we experience suffering and difficulties and oppression and temptation, it's so easy to become discouraged. And so we await the day when our Savior returns, and we pray for that day when all will be made new, and where we, by your grace, may receive through Christ union with him and eternal blessing. We render our thanks and our prayer in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us now, in conclusion, sing together from hymn 15. This hymn is based on Isaiah chapter 40 and includes an exhortation that our hearts be true and humble. Hymn 15, verses 1 and 3. Receive the blessing of the Lord our God with the words of number 6 and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.